This podcast is part of the Game and Entertainment Network. Visit tgenetwork.net to find the latest episodes from all our shows.
I'm sorry, are you sure this is the podcast you were looking for? Really? Okay then. Welcome to the Pixels and Dice Podcast. Every week, our sad little team discusses gaming in various forms, make stupid wisecracks, and generally embarrass themselves quite well with their so-called expert opinions. Remember, you did this to yourself.
Hey there everybody, welcome back. I'm Squirmus.
And I'm Baylis.
So, first off, what's been going on with you, Baylis?
Lots of work. No, I've just been looking into getting back into playing more board games because for Tabletop Week, or the International Tabletop Day, we went out and played a whole bunch of, I can't remember the meme game. It's all about the memes or something like that.
Yeah, but what do you mean?
Exploding Kittens and...
Joking Hazard.
Joking Hazard. Played lots of that.
Yeah, unfortunately we blew hours and hours and hours playing just those three games.
Yeah. But we had a lot of fun.
We did. We played What Do You Meme until we ran out of memes. So, that was something.
Yeah.
Me, I've just been working and live streaming. So.
Yeah, I've watched some of those live streams.
Oh, and you didn't die of boredom?
No, I'm just thinking you need to get better at gaming.
Well, it's named Squirmus Fails at LOTRO for a reason.
Well, I haven't been watching the LOTRO ones. LOTRO's boring.
Oh.
No, I was watching the WoW ones.
Ah. Well, you notice I'm challenging myself with playing a Resto Druid. Leveling a Resto Druid.
Yeah. So. But, you know, I also noticed that your health barely drops below, like, 90% most of the time.
Because I'm a Resto Druid.
Exactly. So how is that challenging yourself?
Because
trying not to fall asleep while you're playing?
I have, like, two attacks. If I get multiple things on me, I have to run away. So, yeah, I have to play a lot more cautiously to get anywhere. So, anyway, shut up.
In other words, stop knocking on LOTRO.
Well, no. You're welcome to your opinion.
My correct opinion.
I was just going to say, your wrong opinion.
I see. That's why I said it ahead of time.
Whatever. So anyway, a couple weeks ago, got contacted by one of our listeners, Froon Juice.
Yes.
And he suggested a idea for a future show, which we're going to do today. He wanted us to talk about something a little kind of specific. He wanted us to talk about board games, but not just... Okay. Board games. I mean, anyone could talk about Clue, Monopoly, whatever. We've done it ourselves. But no, he wanted us to look into some cooperative board games. And more than that, something you can play with the family, you know, like ages 10 and up. So you've got, you know, the complexity that can come with, you know, a more advanced game. Because you're not, you know, trying to play chutes and ladders with toddlers. But also something that, you know, isn't going to be super violent or really, you know, horrible. Although one of my choices kind of rides that line. But, you know, it could challenge and maybe, you know, build, you know, that good family time. But also you're working together and maybe you're, you know, challenging your kids and getting them to think outside the box and stuff. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to each take turns talking about one of these board games we've found just through our research and what we think.
Sure.
Cool. Thanks for adding on. So I will start first. Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, you know, you hit me with this and I haven't had a lot of research time, so I'm kind of... Sounds great.
I left this in our Facebook group 3 weeks ago.
Yes, and I've been working.
Yes, I. Me too. Anyway, point is.
Yeah.
The first game I wanted to talk about is, admittedly, a game I have not played. It's one I would like to play, but it's... I've already bought it once. I'm not sure I want to buy it again. And by that I mean, we have a cousin. He's got a couple kids right in this age range. Now, this is a game that's for ages 7 and up, but it still fits. Mm-hmm. And our cousin told me that he was interested in teaching his kids to role play, because we taught him when he was age 4 how to play D&D. So he's always been like a little brother to us. So we got him into gaming. He wanted to get his kids into gaming, and I thought this would be a great starter for it. Now, turns out it was, you know, for the ages of the kids, they weren't quite ready for it. But since then, in the few years since I got it for them, they haven't played this so much, but one of his two kids is absolutely into role-playing. And we've played mm-hmm. Pathfinder with them as part of our group, what, a couple times, right?
Yeah.
So, that's a good thing. And it's his teenage daughter that's interested in role-playing, not so much his younger son. So, that's surprising, but, yeah, whatever. Anyway, the game in question is Mice and Mystics.
Okay.
And
sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's got little cute little figures, little plastic figures, where basically you play a character that's loyal to the king, and there's essentially a coup going on. There's this evil magician that's trying to take over, and their minions and various monsters and whatnot. Excuse me, sneeze. Anyway, are taking over the castle. So, in an effort to stop you from warning the king of this treachery, this mage turns all the characters into mice. So you've got a magician, mouse, who still has magic. You've got a healer that can still do their healing. You've got a smith who's like a tank. And you've got a knight that has a sword. And they have to fight their way through this castle and the dungeons and past not only the minions and whatnot that are roaming around and whatever monsters they have, they have to fight things like just common animals in the castle, like the other rats and things like that. And so, yeah, it's a kind of like a role-playing game, but you don't have a game master. You're all playing cooperatively against a... like a module when it comes to like old D&D. Okay. And it's got a pretty detailed board and whatnot that kind of expands out as you go. And they have scenarios you have to go through. And it just looks really interesting. Now, the problem is it's not a cheap game. I'm trying to remember what I paid for it. But yeah, I'm looking at Amazon. Its current price on Amazon is $75.
Wow.
You can get it as cheap as 70, but like I said, it's detailed. It's got a pretty cool board. It's got detailed plastic figures on their stands. It's a nice game. You know, it's you know, not some cheap little, you know, shoots and ladders game. This is something you put a little investment in, and you're going to put in, like, they estimate average play time to 2 hours.
Huh.
With 1 to 4 players. So, yes, you can play this solo. So, yeah, it's a interesting game because it's, you know, it's cooperative and it requires problem solving. You have to put yourself into the character of that you're playing. You know, you're the smith or the knight or the healer or the mage. And let's say you're playing that smith. You've got to make sure that healer survives. Otherwise, you're toast, most likely. Same with the knight. Got to be watching over the other characters, and they've got to be watching over the guys in front of them, not just focusing on themselves. So this would be great for, you know, building, you know, that whole family camaraderie. So,
well, you're also teaching your kids how to play MMOs.
MMOs, yes, but also you pen and paper role playing.
Your DPS and your healer.
Because effectively, this is what you're... Yeah, you're following the standard MMO team, but you're also, for just pen and paper role-playing, this is literally one step away from that. And it's you say, oh, $75 is expensive for a board game. True. But if you want to buy all three books, the three core books for 5th edition D&D, what are you putting out? Closer to 100.
150.
I wouldn't even say that. I paid just about 120 total for mine.
Hmm.
Yeah, I got sales. Point is, yeah,
I was looking at the when I originally went looking for them, they were like $50 a pop.
Yes, yes, but the Monster Manual is down as low as just over 30 or just under $30. It's in the $20 range.
Help me now! I already have it.
Well, that doesn't help you now. I know, me either. But I bought it in the $30 range, so you know it's a few years old.
I didn't buy it at all. My wife bought it for me.
Yeah. Point is, though, looks like a really interesting game, especially since you go around and it's got the cheese system, which allows you to hoard crumbs of precious cheese as you go along. And then at certain times when you need a boost to perform some feat, like you've run across the castle house cat and you've got to escape and you have to maybe make this big leap or something, you eat some of that cheese to get a special ability to overcome that challenge. So now you've got resource hoarding as well, you know, resource management. So, kind of cool.
Yeah.
In fact, when we go to buying more games, I will probably buy my wife and I a copy of this, Mice and Mystics. And you say, oh, well, yeah, it's for kids, but I'm pretty sure we would enjoy the hell out of this.
Just because it's supposedly for kids doesn't mean it's not fun for adults.
Right. Well, as my cousin said, when he looked at it, he thought it was too advanced for his kids. It was definitely something that he got and he thought was awesome, but he thought it was beyond what his kids could handle. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure they're smart kids. So I'm pretty sure it's, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the community rating for it here on Board Game Geek shows it as 8 and over. They think that 7 and over is misleading, that it should actually be older than that playing this game.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so that was my first option. What do you got?
Well, I was looking at the 7th Continent.
Hmm.
It's hard to describe because, you know, it's a board game. But it's a board game with video game-like features.
Really?
No. It's a board game that you can play all by yourself or as a cooperative event.
Huh.
It plays as a choose-your-own-adventure, exploration kind of board game. And according to the people who put it out, it's inspired by the Fighting Fantasy book series.
Okay.
I've heard about this series. I just haven't had a chance to, you know, get into it and see if it's worth, you know, picking up. But you'll discover the extent of the new wild land through a variety of terrain and event cards is the way they promote it. But it's got things of, you know, like you're crafting, you're having to build shelters. And the whole point of it is you're cursed. And it's in the early 20th century. You're cursed. You've decided to sail back to the newly discovered 7th continent to attempt to lift the terrible curse that has struck you since your return from your previous expedition.
Huh.
But what caught me going over all this is it's got this quote-unquote easy saving system so that you can stop playing at any time and resume your adventure later on, just like in a video game.
Hmm.
It's a board game. How the hell do you easily save it? Because the last time we ever had to try and save a game, we were trying to save or salvage a Monopoly game. Everybody was tired. We were going to pick it up the next day, so we took a picture of the board. And then everybody made sure to note, you know, how much money they had, how much, you know, what their properties were, etc. And we tried to pick it up the next day, and it was like, you know what? Screw it. Too much work. So,
well, it's possible, like during our pre-show when we were talking about it, it's possible they maybe use like a scorecard or a character sheet where it notes how advanced your curse is. You can note the location of a shelter if it's a grid types board. You can note shelters at this location. You have this many resources, yada, yada, yada.
Well, and what I'm seeing is this is a freaking expensive game.
Really?
Like $280-some on eBay.
Wow.
And it came out in 2017. And since then, there's already 2017. There's the Icy Maze, the Forbidden Sanctuary, Swamp of Madness, Path of Repentance, Fear of the Devourers, Facing the Elements. There's some promotional cards that you can get with it. What Goes Up Must Come Down, The Flying Roots, and Creature Comforts. Those are the expansions that have already come out for it.
Wow.
It's like, wow, really? You're paying $280-some for the basic game, and then you've got all of these expansions. And at the rate they're cranking them out, I wouldn't doubt if, you know, next month there's another one coming out.
You know, you balk at the cost of this game. But I'm pretty sure the people who own everything for Arkham Horror are laughing in the background. $280? Yeah, no. Oh, really? We wish we had only spent that much. Yeah. Well, quality board games are going to cost you.
Yes. Let's just leave it at that. They're going to cost you. But I'm trying to think of a way to put this. The whole point of this game, it just seems like it's one of those survival games.
But
and I'm not sure if I'd put that kind of money into a board game when it's been done to death in video games.
Yes, but it's hard for a family to sit down at the table and have a, you know, a family time adventure.
LAN party.
You know that isn't going to work. Most families have one computer in the house, maybe two. So, yeah, if they're looking for a board game adventure, having this have that ability to replicate a video game, well, in some ways a video game, but just basically a cooperative exploration and building situation where you're problem solving and whatnot. What's the age range on this one anyway?
I had it just a second here. That's right. There, it was a question mark.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't have a, come on. Had it all set up so I could give you more information, and then I got redirected. Yes, I know it's a crowdfunded game. Woo, great. Fantastic. They got $7 million to make this game.
Well, according to Board Game Geek, its age is 14 and up, but the community ranks it 10 and up. Now, my thing is if it's for 14, you know, ages 14 and up, why wouldn't all those people be playing video games, like you said?
Well, and one of the things they have in here is you've got here. The whole point is they're trying to relive the sensation of those Choose Your Adventure books.
Right.
But the game remembers your actions. So if you kill an NPC, he's dead for the rest of the game. And any option that you would have had by letting him live is gone.
Ah.
So there's a lot, you know, there's, you know, I guess they, the way they'd put it is, choices matter.
And isn't that something you want if you're, you know, having family time to teach your kids responsibility and that there are consequences for their actions?
Yeah. It's just, it looks really cool. Great art. Just the features sound interesting. Makes me want to play it. I just don't know how I'd feel about putting out that kind of money for a game and then come find out nobody wants to play it. Yes, I know you know that feeling very well.
Yeah. I have many games that nobody wants to play. But
yes, well.
Are you pretty much done on that one?
Yeah. Well, there's not a whole lot to it because they won't give you any more information without watching a video. They give you this little header. This is a quick gist of it. And then watch this Kickstarter trailer or watch this video or watch this video. I'm trying to promote the game, you know, get the word out there some, and they're making it hard. do it.
It sounds like maybe it's something.
If I had done more research, I would have been better prepared. I apologize.
It sounds like maybe it's something that, you know, if people are interested in the Seventh Continent, go out, take a look at it for yourself, watch the videos, and, you know, get a little more in depth if you're willing to expend that kind of money.
Well, and, you know, not to be, you know, a miser, but, you know, give it a year. The price will drop.
Yes. Now, my second option is some might say it's questionable for the theme that we're discussing today, because it's a horror game. But I love me some horror games. My family has always loved horror games. When we were kids, we played horror games with our parents. So this is not something that I find unusual. Yes, its age range is 14 and up, but the community on Board Game Geek say, again, 10 and up is appropriate. Seems reasonable, since I was reading this sort of horror around that age. We've talked in the past about Pandemic. It's a great modern cooperative board game where the whole team works together to try and fight off a worldwide pandemic disease, which is killing everybody off. And you have to stop it from destroying the world. This is a variant of Pandemic. There are many variants of Pandemic, but this one is unique. It's Pandemic, Reign of Cthulhu. Now, I love Lovecraft and his pulp horror stories from the 30s and 40s. There have been many great movies made about his works or inspired by, like, you know, the Evil Dead series is inspired by Lovecraft.
Right.
Everything involving the Necronomicon, Lovecraft, it goes back to Lovecraft. All this stuff, you know, all this great horror tied in with this cosmic horror that Lovecraft wrote. Well, instead of fighting a worldwide pandemic disease in Reign of Cthulhu, the players are fighting a group of old ones, which are these ancient evil beings, and their minions in the town of Arkham. Now, apparently it involves other towns like Dunwich, Innsmouth, Kingsport, these fictional New England towns from the 1930s.
Right.
And you have to stop the minions, the cultists, from opening up these portals in these towns and getting these old ones into the world to destroy it. And here's one thing you're going to love. Current price on Amazon, $40.
Well, that's much more likely. You know, that's a good price.
Compared to Arkham Horror, which the whole collection for that is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. I once went in to buy Arkham Horror, looked at the price of the base game. My wife was like, you could buy. You want that? You could buy it. I walked up to it, laughed, looked at the expansions, laughed harder, turned around, and walked away. But this may be a similar feel. Maybe not as detailed, maybe not as classic, but something you can play with the family, have some good, entertaining fun for a reasonable price. And if you're a weird-ass family like ours was, especially when it estimates the playtime of 40 minutes for a game, wow! I mean, for modern families who don't have a whole lot of time to sit down and play together, this is a freaking perfect game.
Yeah.
If they're quirky and weird like we are, you know? Maybe they'd prefer to play Pandemic or one of the other many variants of Pandemic out there. But for me, I can guarantee you, I will be ordering this game off Amazon. We will have this, and we will be playing this, because you only need two players. My wife can sit down and play it together. And we can just sit there and, oh, look. I was telling her, sit down, pick up a character. We're playing this. But I got to...
So you can finally get your wife to play with you.
Yes. Yes. I can't get her to play Lotro, but I can get her to play this. At least once.
Sure. That's what I meant. Sure.
Yeah, I'm
sure.
I'm trying to hold on to some level of dignity. I know it's hard. I don't have much.
All right, if that's what you want to call it, dignity. Sure.
I hate you.
I'm sorry, I'm a little tired.
That's okay. We both didn't get a whole lot of sleep. In fact, I've had an hour's sleep since I woke up yesterday. So
yeah, well.
That was, yeah, a long time ago. Anyway, yeah. You have another game you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I was looking at this game called Castle Panic. And what caught my attention is, A, if you're buying it on eBay, they've got it listed at like $11. But the suggested price was originally $35.
Wow.
Amazon says $25.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's a very affordable game, and it's, you know, a light strategy game for 1 to 6 players, ages 10 and up.
Nice.
The gist behind it is the forest is filled with all sorts of monsters. They've waited and watched as you built your castle and trained your soldiers. Now they've gathered their army and are marching out of the woods. Can you and your friends defend your castle against the horde, or will the monsters tear down your walls and destroy your precious castle towers?
Huh.
You either win together or you lose together. But in the end, now this is what makes it kind of a, you know, not as cooperative as the other ones, but in the end, only one player will be declared the Master Slayer.
Huh.
So it's a board game that's a tower defense strategy game.
It's cooperative, but still there's only one winner, quote unquote?
Well, he's not the winner, he's just the Master Slayer. It's just a title.
Oh.
You okay. All win, or you all lose.
I see.
But, I was looking over the rules of it, and there's three different ways to play it. There's the standard, there's the cooperative, and then there's Overlord. So there's all kinds of different ways you can play the game, and some of it is family-friendly, some of it's not. And that's kind of interesting, because you don't have to play it as a cooperative game. You can be a total dick to your family and watch mom burn as her tower goes down. Just so you get the title of Master Slayer.
So basically, if you're a reasonable, you know, nuclear family, mom and dad can sit down with Jimmy and Jane and play a reasonable, basic, cooperative game together. And then after they put Jimmy and Jane off to bed, tuck them in, come back, and try to screw each other over while cooperating so that they can come out to be the only winner.
Yeah. Hey, whatever works, right?
Yeah. I mean, hell, play for favors.
That never ends well.
You gotta defend the tower.
So to speak.
Something like
that. Yes. But
and if we
it
have
looks interesting. Well, it's got the board is concentric rings. You know, the outer ring is the forest where the monsters start.
Right.
Then you've got the archer's ring. And then there's the knight's ring, and then the swordsman ring, and then there's the center ring is the castle.
Hmm.
And so the monsters have to work their way through all of these different defenses before they can get to the tower. And they've got setups in case, like, one of the monsters hurls a boulder, and what kind of effect the boulder will do to the wall or to the players.
Hmm.
And it's got cards involved, so the order of play is how the cards are played, and you can trade cards with the rest of the players. That's where part of that cooperation comes in.
Huh. You know, I think I've actually watched a video about this. I believe the old YouTube show Tabletop.
Oh yes, they
Castle
did.
Castle Panic once. Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
So, yeah, as I recall, it was a quite entertaining game, even if I think Will got the rules a little screwed up. Will Wheaton,
who's yeah.
the host. But either way, still looked like a lot of fun and definitely something you could sit down with the family and play.
Right.
Because I think they were playing the cooperative, so.
Right. But it's just interesting because, you know, part of the game is you're building your walls, you're fortifying your walls, you're, you know, doing all these things, but part of it is you get to move the monsters too.
Hmm.
It's not like drawing a blank on the name of the game, that's that stupid space game from the 80s, Space Invaders, where the monsters just keep marching, eventually getting all going faster, faster, faster until you lose. the players actually choose where the monsters move.
Huh. That seems interesting.
I'm trying to see how, I mean, I guess you'd have to be really honest. Unless, of course, the cards tell you where the monster moves.
Right. Maybe you only have limited options for where you move them to. As I recall, there's, you know, it's not always the same monsters coming out at the same time, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So and they've got boss monsters, too.
Yeah.
Like the Goblin King and the Orc Warlord, the Troll Mage, the Healer, they all have beneficial effects on the monsters themselves, so. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and again, an affordable game because so many times board games, especially the more complicated ones like these cooperative games tend to be, can be rather pricey. And that's why a lot of families will just go to the old classics of Monopoly or Risk or something like that. But they lose that cooperative nature of the game. That a lot of people are looking for. They don't want to play competitively against their kids because that just builds up. Monopoly can ruin friendships.
It has.
Yeah. So do you really want to be playing that with your kids with all the hate and discontent that can come along with it? No. But a cooperative game? Like, I don't want to go into depth on them, but, you know. Betrayal at House on the Hill is mostly cooperative. There's a Forbidden Island. I think it's Forbidden Island and Forbidden Desert.
Forbidden Desert.
Yeah, I've got Forbidden Desert. I just never played it. Both cooperative games, very entertaining. I've watched them played. And every game, every time, it's different. You know? Mm-hmm. And you want it something that's going to bring the family together, not tear it apart. So even if you've got a game that's $200+, maybe it's worth it if that's the game that's going to work for your family.
Or maybe little Jimmy needs to cry his eyes out for the night.
Maybe, you know, you got to establish some, male dominance. You know, I'm the alpha. I have destroyed all of your hotels. You have gone bankrupt, little Jimmy. But, you know, there's that, but then there's also building up your kid's self-esteem, playing a tower defense game, and because you want your children to be reasonable. You're a father, for God's sakes. What is your son going to turn into?
I already know what he's going to turn into. He's a good kid.
Yes.
Despite me.
Despite you, yes. But, maybe letting them play that tower defense game and earn that, that title, Master Builder or whatever it freaking was.
Master Slayer,
yeah. Because that helps at their young child's self-esteem, gives them a boost.
Uh-huh.
That seems like a reasonable thing, a family thing to do.
Ah, family's overrated.
Okay, so we're running a little late. You got any other final thoughts?
No, actually, I've been, since you brought up the subject, I've been looking into these things a little bit. I don't know, I'd really like to try some of these games.
Yeah.
This Castle Panic looks like a lot of fun, and the Seventh Continent, I'm just interested in how in the hell they say they can save the game in 30 seconds.
In 30 seconds?
Yeah. That's what they're touting. It's easy to play. It's it takes 30 seconds to set up and 30 seconds to save it.
That's impressive.
It is.
Maybe that's why it's going to cost you $280.
Probably.
I'm not going to pay that for a freaking board game personally, but.
Well, and I'm sure the price is going to come down.
Oh, sure.
It's just, wow. That's an awful lot of money on an unknown.
They have videos.
Yes, but my unknown is, are we actually going to play it?
Yes, and I have probably $1,000+ of role-playing games that we have never played and will likely never play.
Yes, but you had high hopes when you bought them.
Sure, like when I bought Talos Lanta twice.
Well, that's just stupid.
Hey, I forgot I had already bought it, so I bought one copy, we never played it, So a couple years later, when we went back to that game store, I went, oh, look, Talos Lanta, that looks like fun. Came home and went, I already have this. Oh, shoot. Well, I guess I got two copies.
Yes, yes, you do.
And it's not unusual to have two copies of a role-playing game. I mean, I have three copies of Rift.
Yes, but one of those is a collector's edition, isn't it?
Yes, one is a collector's edition. One is in a thing that's keeping it pristine. And the other one is the book I use. And it has been well used.
Well, yeah, we've played the hell out of that game.
Yes, we have. But that's a topic for another day. So, I guess that's it.
I would say so.
Till next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Wow, you actually listened to the whole episode? I'm frankly shocked, and have lost a little bit of respect for you, to be honest. But since you are obviously a glutton for punishment, why don't you drop by our new website, scormy.com? It can't be a much bigger time waster than this podcast has been, can it? Actually, yes, it totally can, but check it out anyway.